Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, chickens. This is the fabulous Adam Richard, and I have a theory. Hey, chickens. Welcome to another week of theories. I know I said I was going to get straight on with the magician, witch's apprentice, familiar. they're in the wrong order. But I got a lovely email, so we'll get through that first, and then we'll get on to the recaps. Anyway, it's from lovely Matthew. The lovely Matthew. And he has said, this is way late, so understand if it's not usable. But what are you talking about? It's perfectly on time. We barely finished. And he's intermingling his first Doctor Who memories with his thoughts on Remembrance of the Daleks, because in many ways they are one and the same. Oh my God, we've come full circle. He says, now I've been watching Doctor Who for as long as I can remember. My earliest very vague memory would be Destiny of the Daleks, although I'd have been 3 on the date that episode 4 of that was broadcast, so it must have been from a repeat. I mean, you could remember something from when you're 3. You never know. So, I can remember Legopolis and the Visitation and hearing about Davison leaving on Radio 1 News. Oh, Radio 1, that's like the BBC pop station, isn't it? I watched all of Caves of Androzani, second-guessing what would happen. I was convinced that the cliffhanger where the Doctor and Perry were to be executed would result in the red cloth being removed the following week to show the Doctor's new face. I was very young. Please be kind. I'm kind to everyone, Matt. that is cute, though. I would love it if, you know, there was a regeneration in the middle of a story, like, because it kind of looked like that was going to happen during season 10. Was it the pyramid one where the Doctor did the fake out regeneration and we knew that he was regenerating? So it was like, oh my God, it's going to happen. And it's like, and then it didn't happen for another 8 weeks or longer. Oh, that's right. We had to wait till Christmas. But yeah, because it turns into such a, you know, huge publicity event, then it's never really, you know, going to be, you know, a thing that happens halfway through a season, which would be great. Like, that was the great thing, I think, about Joe Martin's Fugitive Doctor, was it's like, what? It's another Doctor? Like, it was exciting. It was a moment, like, that we had known nothing about. I mean, I'm going to miss that about the Chibnall era, because, you know, we get so much information from Russell T. Davis that eventually the episodes are on. It's like, yeah, I saw all of this. like, I'm delighted and it's fun, but I still kind of, like, I really did love that, you know, that there was no publicizing anything really during the Chibnall era. It's like, here's some people sitting at a table. Like, you're like, okay, fine. It's not much in the way of publicity, but then as a fan, I get to watch the show and be completely surprised by everything that's happening. So yeah, I would love it. I remember having a theory. I had theories before this podcast, by the way. I know, controversial. I had a theory that when it was announced, like, remember they had the Next Doctor, which was the first special in between the 10th and 11th Doctors. Like, they ended series 4. Donna got, you know, had her mind wiped. And then the next episode was called The Next Doctor. And it was David Morrissey was in it. And I was like, what if he just regenerates into David Morrissey? And David Morrissey is, in fact, the next Doctor. Like, that was kind of the implication. And that would have been amazing if that had happened. But it didn't. And he just thought he was the Doctor. See what I mean? Like, they kind of like the Russell T. Davies era. It's like, we're going to give you all the information and then surprise you in the episode. But instead of being completely overwhelmed by, oh my God, I did not see this coming, it's kind of like, oh, that's just not what I thought it was. Which, you know, happens because we as fans love to theorize. We love to try to work out what's going on. You know, like, everyone's totally into the idea that this is the Toymaker coming up. So look, it hopefully will be so delightful and we'll be so excited about David Tennant and Catherine Tate that we won't even care if it's slightly underwhelming. And it doesn't turn out to be everything we wanted it to be. Anyway, like, I do love your idea, Matt. Like, even if you were a kid, like, the Doctor getting executed in the first episode and then being regenerated would be amazing. I mean, that series did have a regeneration before the end of the series. Like, the first four Colin Baker episodes were the last four episodes of that Peter Davison season. Like, it was a whole thing. And the same with, like, Patrick Troughton. He came in after, you know, William Hartnell had done a few stories at the start of season four. So it's, you know, not entirely unheard of, but certainly it didn't really, you know, it wouldn't have happened at the end of episode one as much as I would have loved that. That would have been amazing. Anyway, Matt says, despite this viewing history, I wouldn't have called myself a fan. In 1988, I was watching Coronation Street instead because the affair between Gail and her toy boy lover, Martin, was about to be revealed. Oh my God, I remember watching that, although we didn't get that until well into the 90s on Foxtel. My friend, I used to record them on, like, you know, you could remember when you used to be able to set your VHS to tape things? I mean, the olden days. So yeah, you could set your Foxtel to go onto a certain channel at a certain time, and then you could set your VHS to tape it. So I recorded, I would record Coronation Street religiously, and then my friend Jennifer would come over and we would watch like 5 hours in one sitting every couple of weeks. Which was the best. But yes, I do remember Gail and Martin. Anyway, Matt says, it was only a year later I got chatting with a new schoolmate about Doctor Who, and he told me he'd got some episodes recorded from the TV, just like me with Corey. He lent them to me, and in one evening I did the whole 1988 and 89 seasons in one hit, and from that moment on, I was a fan. The first of his recordings I watched was Remembrance of the Daleks. See, it's all relevant. Thank you, Matthew. I remember thinking the little pre-credits thing wasn't actually from Doctor Who at all and just something caught up on the video that my mate had recorded over. Oh, my God. So cute. I think quite rightly so that Remembrance is one of the all-time classics of the series, and what a way into being a proper fan. Yeah, it's like, as you've discovered, I talked about it for 20 episodes or more of this podcast, and I have, yeah, it's so good. It's got everything you'd want. One of the best Doctor companion pairings, the Daleks looking the best they ever have and engaged in civil war, the gorgeous Dursley McLinden, meaning this in my life was more than just the beginning of me being a Who fan. Forget Chunky Gilmore. I'm not reading the next bit. It's rude. He even says, I dare you to say that in the podcast. I am not saying that in the podcast, Matthew. all right, I'll say it if you're a Patreon subscriber, but everyone else, no one's going to hear it. And Davros in an egg. Epic. I was entranced by the extermination effect. Mr. Bronson from Grange Hill as the villainous headmaster. The transmitting Dalek. You could see its innards. And, of course, the Dalek going upstairs. We could protest as much as we liked. We'd never stop the world leveling that criticism at them until 2005. Well, I think you'll find in 1988. We still say it. I know, it was a whole plot in, well, a subplot in the first episode of Outland that John and I wrote. Like, it was a whole thing with, you know, someone laughing at Daleks because there were Daleks all over the house in the Sugar Bowl, amongst other things. But yeah. Matt says, of course, in the years since, those scenes are replaced as favourites by the more sedate moment in Remembrance, which remains a firm favourite that should really have served as a pilot for the countermeasures team that wasn't just audio. Anyone else think that outside of Big Finish's series, these guys were actually the genesis of UNIT? Yes, I'll forgive the silliness of Ace and the Doctor swapping seats in the van and Sylvester's gurning at the claw of a blobby thing. Remembrance has more than earned its place as one of the all-time best ever Who stories. I mean, look, some of my favourites have gurning actors in them. I mean, you know, Spearhead from Space, we get a bit of gurning. It's one of the things the Doctor does when he gets strangled with some sort of claw thing. He's got a gurn. All right, more gurning in the next episode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.